Back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 25, and we're going to begin with verse 17 this evening. And if you'll remember, we had just learned about the fact that God considers unfair business practices disgusting to God. So he's laying out different reminders of civil laws here. And then we move into verse 17, and we see things change a little bit. He says, "Remember what Amalek did unto you by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God."
Go ahead and read the next verse also.
Okay. "Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it."
So this is just simply saying that the Amalekites are enemies of Israel. They came out to attacked Israel, and you understand that when you attacked it, when they came out of Egypt, they attacked Israel. It's really an attack against God, because God's the one that ordained this. God's the one that brought them out. They're God's people. So to attack them is to attack God. It's sort of like Jesus told Paul, "Why are you persecuting?" Or Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you persecuting me?" He didn't say the church. Well, when they're persecuting Israel, they're persecuting God. God says, don't forget this. And so when you've defeated your enemies and you've inherited the land that I've promised you, then I want you to attack Amalek. That is a mandate from God. You attack Amalek and totally wipe out his descendants. Get rid of him. Okay? Dangerous to fight against God. Yeah. Well, he has his method a little different today, but I'll promise you this. Those that fight against God, in the end, will be defeated. They may get by with things today, but they don't get by with things after they exit this life. That's for sure.
Now, chapter 26 records the procedure for presenting the tithe to the Lord and a charge and promise given unto Israel. Verse 1, "And it shall be, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God gives thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there."
So once the Israelites are settled into this promised land, they were to take the first fruits. Obviously, that's going to be the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest, and they're to that they've grown, you understand, that they're to go to the place that God has chosen to place his name. Now, that's the key right there. Go where God has chosen to place his name and take those first fruits. Not just any place you want to, but where is God's name residing? Now, when they first entered into the land and got settled in, the tabernacle of Moses and all was set up at Shiloh. And so God's name at the beginning when they entered into that land was at Shiloh. But because of Israel's disobedience, God removed his name from there. The Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. And then later on, much later on, this when Solomon builds the temple, then God puts his name on the temple. But in between that time, Israel's suffering for not obeying God in the first place. Okay? God has a place. God has his name on places. And And how do I know if God's name's there? His Spirit's there. His presence is there. If the presence of God and the Spirit of God's not there, you're just spinning your wheels to go there. It's that simple. Okay? Go where God's name is. And then give your best to God. That's the basic principle of it.
Verse 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God.
And so the people, after they harvest, got their first fruits, they were to go to the place where God's name was and profess to the priest. Note this, I acknowledge the fact that I am in a land that God gave me. Okay? And God has blessed me, so I'm bringing these first fruits, okay? The priest was then to take the basket out of that giver's hand and set it before the altar of the Lord. So there's a recognition of God being good for his word. And then there's a recognition of honoring God. And that's what we're to see in this, that God's good for his word. Honor God. God honors his word to you. Honor what God has asked you to do. Then honor him. He loves you. What's wrong with loving him? If you want him to demonstrate it to you, what's wrong with you demonstrating to him? Okay?
Verse 5, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord our God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, has given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God.
So the person presents the basket to the priest. The priest takes the basket, sets it before the altar of the Lord. Then there was a confession that was made. It was not just bringing the tithe, but it was tithing the tithe. Okay? And the confession, if you look at this, is you're telling the priest, or you're speaking before God, I know who my forefathers were. Well, I know where I came from. I know where they came from. I know where you've brought us. And I know how you've blessed us. Now, I'm going to give you a revelation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not Israelites. Never thought about it? The nation of Israel didn't exist till after they're dead and gone. Now, I know God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and then as years went by, then they were recognized as Israelites, and some, today we call them Jews, right? And so when he says, I was a Syrian, my father was a Syrian, if you go back and trace the lineage of Jacob, which Israel got its name, it changed to Israel, then referring to him, Jacob's mother was a Syrian. How do I know that? Because her brother's name was Laban. And the scriptures identify Laban the Syrian. So that's why it says that. Okay. I was a heathen and now I've been brought into covenant with God. Okay. But they're reminding themselves of where they came from. They've been in Egypt, their forefathers. They were in bondage. They were in Egypt 430 years. And they remind themselves of how God supernaturally brought them out of that place of bondage, out of the slavery that they were in, and how God did it with mighty power. In other words, this is a powerful God. There's no God like this God. And so when God heard them crying out because of their oppression, God had mercy on them, and God remembered his covenant that he gave to Abraham, not because God's forgetful, but God told Abraham that your descendants are going to go into Egypt. They're going to be there for 400 years. They'll come out in the fourth generation. And we know by the math of it, they were there 430 years. Okay? And then they came out with a great deliverance. God did all these signs and wonders that had future effect, positive effect on Israel. Not only did Israel see the supernatural deliverance of God, but the nations around were aware of the supernatural deliverance of Israel that God had done, and that there was no God like this God. You understand? And so it's really putting attention on God, and they're reminding themselves of that. This is their confession as they set that tithe before the Lord. And then they leave that basket and they bow down and worship to God. If you've done this for me, the least I can do is bow before you. You understand? So that's tithing the tithe. The first fruits.
Verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among ye.
This is the interesting thing. It's not just them, the person bringing that's blessed, but because they've been blessed, they can be a blessing. Mm-hmm. And that's what God told Abraham in the beginning, wasn't it? I'll bless you. You'll be a blessing. You with me? And that's what's going on here. Their families, the Levites, the foreigners who are among them, everybody is rejoicing because they're being obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, then people are being blessed. You understand? A nation's blessed when the people follow the nation. Everybody benefits from it. That's what behooves us to follow the will and ways of God.
Tonight we have the blessing. You're reaping a blessing from obedience. All of us are reaping a blessing this evening because of obedience. Verse 12. When thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled.
Note that it was every third year that they went to the place the Lord had placed his name. That doesn't mean that they're not honoring God annually. But every third year, this is brought, and then everybody is benefited by this. The storehouse, the temple had storehouses, and where they stored the grain, the things that they would distribute as benevolence, okay? And so everybody is benefited from this, and the priest had the responsibility of proper distribution in all this. Okay?
Verse 12, and when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey.
So they're making this confession here after they have tied the tithe, and they're just actually making a vow before the Lord, or coming clean with the Lord and all this. I haven't given any of this to idol worship. You with me? That's basically what he's saying. Out of all my crop, everything, I've done what you've said. I've brought this to the Levites so the foreigners, the widows, the orphans can benefit by it. In other words, I've remembered what you said, and I've executed your command. Now, I didn't do any of this while I was unclean. Now, I recognize your sacred places in heaven, right? I know where you are. So I'm asking you just, you look down and bless your people Israel. Bless the nation. And the land that you've given to this nation is, and it's a land of abundant resources. It's just like you said. You've kept your oath to our forefathers. Metaphorically speaking, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. You understand? You're just recognizing God's good for His word. And so really, the tithe was honoring God. These confessions are honoring God. You remind yourself of who God is and what God has done for you. And I'm telling you, we need to practice that, just reminding ourselves, not dwelling on where you came from, but understanding where you came from. And because of the mercy and grace of God, you're not there now, because God's good for His word. And so you want to recognize that you've been faithful. You're merciful. You're full of grace and truth. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to be people of grace and truth as well.
I appreciate reading through this, because what I see with the practice of tithing here that God put into place for these Israelites was, as Pete was just saying, to keep the Lord before them at all times. Remember who your provider is, not look at the crops we grew, look at what we did, look at what I produce. It's look at what the Lord has blessed us with. Thank you. He's the provider.
You're not a self-made man. You are what you are by the grace of God. And that's what they're reminding themselves. Israel wasn't blessed because Israel was better than everybody else. They was blessed for the name of God's sake. God had given His word to Abraham, and so God obligated Himself to His word. That's why they were blessed. Not because they did everything right. They were murmurers, complainers, stiff-necked, hard-headed, hard-hearted. But God kept His word to Abraham. They were punished along the way, but God never broke His covenant. They broke God's covenant, but God never broke His covenant.
Now, we want you to remember about this principle of tithing. This is going to be a test question. Chapter 26 of Deuteronomy reveals a principle for tithing. Your key word there is tithing. Now, verse 16 of chapter 26. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thine soul.
In other words, observe the word of God, implement the word of God, do it, and do it not half-heartedly, but with all your soul, with all your mind. Let what you do for the Lord come out of your heart because of your love for God. And I'm going to tell you, if you get a revelation of God's love for you, I can't imagine you not reciprocating that love back to God.
Yeah, think about the difference between a person going through the motions. Somebody going through the motions, an outsider might look at that person and say, wow, would you look at them? They're doing X, Y, Z. But God knows the heart of man. And so all of this obedience is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of works. Or should not be.
Jesus right? even said to the religious people with your lips, you're worshiping, but your heart's far from me. And that happens so often today. You know, people go to church every Sunday. They go through the motions. And they sit there, but how many people are there? Their bodies are in the service, but they're thinking about what they're going to do after they get out. They're not thinking about God. So many, I used to be one of those. You understand? I was just waiting for the dismissal, amen. You understand? I'm not that way anymore. Thank God. So, we ought to do what we do because we love God.
Verse 17. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto his voice.
So what they're saying when they make these confessions, they're declaring that the Lord is their God. And that they're going to walk in the ways of God by keeping the word of God, and we'll do what you say. It's amazing how many people will make the confession, but they don't follow through with the confession. And so Moses is reminding them, you've made a declaration today. Don't you forget what you said to God. It's better not to make a vow than make a vow and break a vow. So remember what you said to God.
Verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken.
So the Lord told the Israelites, or Moses told the Israelites, that the Lord had declared that the descendants of Israel were his special people. Right? Because they were his special people, they were to keep all his directives. I've chosen you out of all the nations on earth. I chose you to represent me. So do what I say. The body of Christ, the church, God has chosen out of all the religious organizations in the world, and he's chosen us to keep the directives of God. Know the word and implement that word in your life, because this is a directive. You're representing God. You're representing God. We talk about the body of Christ. We're talking about Jesus. Don't bring a reproach against Jesus.
I got ahead of you. I skipped 18 and 19.
Did.
I'm sorry.
I picked that one.
Thank you. I saw a thou shalt not.
That's all right. Then we'll go to 19.
Thank you.
So Moses told the Israelites if they would follow God's instructions, the Lord would make them greater than any nation on earth. And Israel would be praised, they would be esteemed, they would be honored. They would be a sacred nation to the Lord God, just as God had said. But note the condition in here. There's an if. If you follow God's instructions, himself to his word. That's the key. His word. Okay?
Y'all know that's an assurance for us, right? We don't have to wonder or wish or hope. It's just a done deal. Now, chapter 27 tells of Moses' command for Israel to keep God's commandments and the curses to be pronounced commandments, which I command you this day.
Isn't it amazing how many times he keeps saying this? Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments, folks. Obey the laws. Do what God says. Over and over and over. Why would he say that? Because for 40 years they've been violating. And now they're on the brink of going in to the land that God has promised them. And Moses knows that in order for you to stay in that land, you will have to obey God, or God will drive you out like he did those before you. So he keeps reiterating this.
And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore, it shall be, when you be gone over Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster.
So they're to get some large stones on the west side of the river, after Israel has crossed over Jordan, and they're to plaster these things and engrave on these stones the commandments. Large enough stones that the commandments are legible, not fine print, but large enough to read. And then, they were to obey God in driving the inhabitants out of the land. They were to settle in the land that God had promised to their forefathers, where there was abundant resources. And once they had done that, they'd gotten in, then they were to set these stones up on Mount Ebal. The commandments of God were set up on Mount Ebal for anyone to read, okay?
And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God, of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God.
So at the place where these stones are placed, they were to build an altar. Now, I think it's significant that he says uncut stones. In other words, what you're using to worship me, I don't want man's hands on it. I don't want man to fabricate a way of worship. You take what I made, and you put these things, you take what I made and make an altar out of it, and then you sacrifice on it. And that's what God's expecting out of us today. Worship God, God's way, God's method, not with the methods of men. Okay? And where are you worshiping God? Right there with His Word, His commands. They're right before Yahs, okay?
And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God.
That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly.
Engrave them legibly.
Mm-hmm.
To where everybody can read it, okay?
Mm-hmm. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day.
Doesn't that sound real pretty, the way it's so gentle, you know? But listen to what it actually says. Israel, be quiet and listen. Today you become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore pay attention to the Lord God and keep all the commandments and laws that he's given you today. That's a mandate. That's an order. I could have said, shut up and listen. I was nice. Be quiet. Get still before the Lord and listen to what the Lord said. The Lord was speaking through Moses.
And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali.
So you have two mountains, Gerizim and Ebal. You have 12 tribes. Six of these tribes, which are given by name, are to stand on Mount Gerizim and speak the blessing. The other six tribes are to stand on Mount Ebal and speak the curse. Okay? Now, in the next verses, he tells you what these are, and he says, speak it loudly. So the Levites were to speak loudly to all the men of Israel, and these are the things that they were to say, okay?
Okay. Verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
So, what he's basically saying is anything made by man, don't worship it. And the people say, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what amen is. Amen is a confirmation. I agree with that. So be it. Let that word be established. Okay? We won't worship anything made by man. No idols.
Cursed be he that sitteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen.
So cursed is a man who treats his father or mother with contempt.
Mm.
And all the people said, let that word be established.
Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen.
Every time you see that amen, let it be established. Let it be established. So be it. Okay?
Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen.
Actually, what it's saying is, cursed is the man who does not put into practice all the words of this law. And the people say, let that word be established. Now, I have some things I want to say in light of this, but I wanted her to read all these curses, and then I want to talk about that when we get back from our break. So time's up right now, so we'll take a break, and then we'll want to come back and speak to this, okay?